and use us tonight in Jesus' name. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to talk about you, Lord Jesus, to share our experiences. I pray that you would bless this panel, Lord Jesus, every speaker. Anoint them, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon them. Help them, Lord Jesus, just to do your will. Lord, help us to know what to say in order to bless this congregation. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord God. Thy will be done here tonight in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen. Amen. How about we clap our hands to the Lord today? All right. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here today and joining this panel. We've got a lot of great things that I believe the Lord's wanting to do tonight. And for those of you who don't know, we are going to take a minute. Don't know who these people are. Victor, you probably know. Praise God. But for those of you who don't know the others, we're going to give them a chance just to greet you and say hi. And why don't you go ahead and just tell us your name, tell us who you are, and what your position is in church, or just anything you feel might be relevant to the conversation. Brother Victor, how about you kick us off today?
Praise the Lord. Yes, most of you know who I am. I serve for the Lord in this church, the Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church. I have a couple duties here, ministries. I'm a part of the men's ministry and the prayer ministry. So I've been blessed with both positions, and I've gotten to know quite a few people in those positions and blessed in both of those positions. So God has taught me how to speak and how to reserve and how not to speak when I'm not supposed to say certain things, and to show love and to answer questions that some people ask, and know when to pass them on to my leader, Pastor Meehan. So praise God. And of course, that is something that God has taught me along the way. So I've been here 8 years with the church, and in those positions as well. Well, actually about 5 years in those positions. But God has been really guiding and teaching and also ministering through Pastor. And I thank God that he has given me an opportunity to make right and do what I'm supposed to do in this world. So he's guided me, and I thank God for that. So it's a wonderful place to be in church. I mean, you got to find a place, you know, to call home and call your sanctuary. And this is an awesome place that God has brought me to. So I thank God for that. I thank God for a wonderful pastor and to get to know his family, Brother Chris and the Meehans, so, and also his children. So it's a wonderful thing, you know. I mean, God continues to bless. So let us move on, and let's get to know.
Go ahead, Sister Valerie.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for having us here, Aaron. I am Valerie. I am, spoiler alert to any of you who don't know, Chris Meehan's wife, which is Brother Aaron, Pastor Aaron's brother. I help teach Sunday school at our church in Fort Pierce. I kind of go where I'm needed. I'm over the cleaning department, and I help out with singing, and really anywhere where there's a need. Oh, I am also over foreign missions. We talk about that monthly, and I help out with the outreach and youth as well. My husband's reminding me. So pretty much everywhere I can be a help in our church, I am willing and honored to be able to help. So,
I mean, that you know, again, when you're in it, you're usually in it, right? Brother Victor only gave a few of his positions and hats that he serves. Amen.
Yes, and I will do the same. I'm not going to go all the way down the list. I'm thankful that, you know, it definitely is, and I will say that the church is blessed to have people like Brother Victor, that will wear those different hats. And I'm thankful in our church we're getting to a point where hopefully less people have to wear less hats. And, you know, but I am the youth pastor there, the music director, and assistant pastor for, you know, whatever that really means. But I assist the pastor. That's generally what I'm doing. But I'm so thankful. I've been in church, you know, as your pastor has said of himself. I had the same upbringing. Been in church all my life, and, you know, certainly not in church all my life, but going to church all my life. And about halfway through my life at this point, it came to a fork in the road, and God really touched my life and changed a lot of issues and things in my heart. And since then, I've been trying to give him my best. I haven't always been perfect, but I'm thankful to be able to be used in the church and to be a blessing to the kingdom. And I pray that for our family and for our kids, that we just, when your goal is to be a blessing to the church and a blessing to the kingdom of God, it makes it a whole lot easier to make right decisions and to stay close to him, because our goal is not just to make it to heaven someday. Our goal is to be a blessing to the kingdom while we're here. So,
well, praise the Lord. I'm going to start us out with a question, and feel free to, you know, give a short answer, a long answer. But what is your favorite ice cream, Brother Victor? Now think about it. Don't just give the first answer. Make sure you got the right one.
Well, I indulge in chocolate, and I love my chocolate. So I would say more or less, you know, what is that one? Fairfield has those little turtles in them. And, you know, I like it because it has a chocolate swirl, fudge swirl in it, and the little turtles in it. And basically, that is my favorite. I shouldn't eat it, but I do indulge sometimes. I'm type 2 diabetic, so God has really put me in my place with sweets, you know. That's a wonderful way to start.
Sister Valerie, same question. This is too important. We got to get everybody's answer.
Well, I agree with Victor. I love chocolate, anything chocolate. So it's got to be ice cream that is chocolate with maybe chocolate brownie, like he's saying, chocolate swirls, the chocolate turtles, loads of chocolate. That's my go-to.
Amen.
Okay, same question. I will say it sounded like you were stirring up some past things that Brother Victor's trying to get out of, but I'm not really that big of a sweets guy, but Publix used to have this raspberry dark chocolate Breyers ice cream, and I've told my wife to look for it. I've been there multiple times throughout the years. They don't make it anymore, I guess, so I gave up on ice cream after that. But if I'm forced to, it's going to be cookie dough something. So
I would say I'm right there with you, cookie dough. Pretty much anything. Was it Blue Bunny? Is it Blue Bunny? What's it called? Anything Blue Bunny.
He's checking his notes to see.
Yeah, I had to make sure. Wait a minute. Blue Bunny. Yep, that's it. We're all diabetic up here pretty much, so we shouldn't move on. So tonight is an exciting night. We've been talking about revival. You see on the screen the image of harvest, and I just wanted to read a verse here, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And, I get, because I don't live in Stuart, I get the privilege of taking US 1 to church every service. And on US 1, you have to go over the Roosevelt Bridge. And, but every time I do it, if I'm not, you know, knee-deep in sermon prep or something like that, and I get the opportunity to actually look around when we're up on that bridge, I get to just see the overview of the city. And tonight especially, and almost every single time, it's like God puts just a fresh burden in my heart for revival, because you're so high up there and you can see all around. And tonight, just on the way over here, I started looking over the city and I just got that same burden again. And I just thought, God, you know, because you're so high up there, this is your view at every moment of every day. And this must be how you feel all the time, looking over the world and looking over our city with such a desire for revival. And, you know, I looked it up, and four times Jesus said that the harvest was great or plenteous in the scripture. And so we've been talking about harvest. We've been kind of using the word revival to replace the harvest. And in this verse of scripture, it says specifically that we should pray for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. Of course, that's an example, right? It's not a literal harvest. So we could also say that the Lord would send laborers into revival. And I want to get maybe just some of your thoughts. What do you think that means? How would you define, what to you is a revival laborer in this place? Brother Chris, why don't you go ahead and kick us off there?
A revival laborer to me is, you know, and I did listen to your lesson last week, which was great, and just the idea of one thing that's really, you know, I want to send honor to Brother Sean Mayo at our church. He's the he's head of the outreach. He's the outreach director, and I love, and I know your church does as well, the corporate outreach. You know, where the church comes together, has a plan to go somewhere or do something, and to do that outreach. And corporate outreach as a church is so great, and needed and essential. But I think the only trouble with that is that we can sometimes get in the mentality that outreach is this day and then nothing else. But a harvest laborer surely is one, you know, they go into the harvest to work. They go into those fields to start working. And every day that we leave our home, we are going into the fields. You know, we may not always come back with a harvest. We may not always come back with a stack of things happening. But when we have the mentality of anytime we go out, there could be an opportunity to speak to someone. There could be an opportunity to reach out to someone. And one of the things I was thinking and thinking about tonight is, you know, sometimes we have the mentality too as church people. We want to invite people to church. And, you know, obviously we should be inviting people to church, and hopefully that, you know, we are able to do that. But I think sometimes we get the goals wrong, and there's a term in shooting, which is aim small, miss small. When you aim for the bullseye, you're very likely to hit the board. But if you're just aiming for the board, you may hit the board, you may miss the board. And I think sometimes we forget that the bullseye is getting people to Jesus, inviting them to know Jesus. And so sometimes I think, you know, I've been in church a long time. I've been in leadership a long time. I've seen a lot of things. And I know that sometimes the idea of bringing people to church is really come here so that somebody else can take care of you and somebody else can disciple and somebody else can do the work. But when our goal is ultimately to bring people to church, not only are they going to, or bring people to Jesus, not only are they going to come to church, but we'll have a much more likely way to bring them to the bullseye, to where Jesus is. But that takes work, and it takes having a mentality that, you know, not just talking to people for a moment, but as was said last week, to befriend people, to connect with people, to be able and willing to put in the work to bring people from lost to not just convert, but disciple and follower and worker. It really just comes with a changing our mentality. You know, we're not just going to work. We're going into the field. We're not just going to the store. We're going into the field. And I think when we have that mentality, it helps us to really look at every interaction as, is this something I could bring up Jesus in this situation, or bring up, what God has done for us. And I think that, you know, that is essential. Really, it just really comes down to a mindset, getting our mind wrapped around the idea that everyone around us is ready to be harvested. And
absolutely. Anybody else want to add on to that? That was well said. Very well said. Well, and you kind of touched up on this, this idea of Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. I'll just say this. I feel like sometimes people have the mindset of, if I can just get them in the building, then I'm done. Pastor's going to take it from there. Well, I can tell you that I can't disciple every soul. And I agree, laborers have to do more than just bring them in the building. They got to bring them to Christ. And beyond that, because it's not just go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. That's only the first part, right? It's also the teaching them to observe all things. So, yes, we want to bring them to church. They have their best shot of making it if they're in the church. But ultimately, it's bringing them to Jesus first and foremost. But, Brother Victor, when you hear that saying, I quoted it last week and had said it. With this passage of Scripture, it teaches us to go to preach and to preach as you go. Those are two very distinct things. Go to preach being that I'm actually going to go to them. I think we're sometimes too content waiting on hungry souls to come to us. So in your opinion, how can we go out to preach? How can we go with the intention of preaching?
Well, I definitely want to say that I give God all the glory for all that he does in my life. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't have an opportunity to speak to certain people. And what's so anointing about what God has done in my life, I come from a different lineage, you know. I did start off in church, but I left church. Actually, my parents left church, and it was church hurt. And so I was in the world, and then my life changed, and I gave my life to God, and then I was church hurt. I felt personally church hurt, and so I left church with my family, and that was about 30 years ago. And the past going on, you know, the 10 years that I've been in, and saved, loved by God, moved by God, I have a different viewpoint because I haven't been saved all them years. And it's a great place to be, you know, saved all that time. But my point of view is totally different. And I'm coming at a different perspective. And just needed to share that because I need everyone to know that God has worked miracles in my life. And shown me and chose me. That's the only way I can describe it. And so when I say that I've been ministered to by God's angels the way Jesus was ministered, that's how I feel. I've seen miracles. I've seen signs, cancer healed, Crohn's healed. I've seen lives changed, lived in protection, that realm, and heard preachers preach and talk about the greatness. It's different because in order to preach and teach and bring them to church, it's as if I look upon them as Jesus did with compassion. The multitude I see, it hurts to know that I can't reach them all. And, you know, God's omnipresent and he does work everywhere. You know, we go. I know it's not just me. It's not something that I'm chosen to do by myself. And I thank God that He's trained me through His Word and His Spirit to be able to share the gospel, to preach and teach and do Bible studies. And I think it's a different level of respect that people have for me because they hear my testimony and they know that I've come from the gutter and I've been in the ditch and I've lived that life and I've been a sinful person, and that if I can be forgiven, they can be changed. And that's where my preaching leads them to accept that God is all-knowing and all-loving and all-forgiving, and His grace is sufficient. And so if I can pass that on to the next person, I've done my job. And I've done plenty, and I thank God that He's given me more time and for my family and friends. So I praise God for that, and I give God all the glory. I take none of it, and I thank God for allowing me to continue to do His work. And so Jesus is number one and should be in all our lives that way. So.
Well, absolutely. And that compassion was what led Jesus to say this initially. He looked at the people and said they were sheep having no shepherd. And He desired that we would go and purposely pursue them, right? To compel them to come in. Sister Valerie, a question for you. So we talked about go to preach, but we also say preach as you go. Can you, just in your own experience, how can we preach as we go? And by the way, Chris being here was just a bonus. I actually wanted Sister Valerie to be here specifically because... but I know God's used both of them in amazing ways. But that I've been out with them on several occasions, and I'm going to embarrass her now, then she's going to have to speak. But I've been out on with them on several occasions, and I'll see her just all of a sudden off talking to a stranger, and then I'll hear, Chris, you got a church card? Chris, you got a church card? And I just thought, man, how does she do that? Hallelujah. And so it seems like it comes so naturally. So it might even be hard for you because it comes naturally. But can you, just in your the best way you can, your own words, your own experience, explain what it means to preach as you go, you know?
I think that's a good saying, preach as you go, because I think each and every one of us are going. We are going all day long, sun up to sun down. And so is the rest of the world. So we kind of have to preach as we go. And one thing I find, a couple things would be, you stop maybe at the gas station on your way to work. Maybe you stop at the same gas station on your way to work. So you're building a relationship with the people you see on a regular basis. Just starting with anything, a smile, a wave, a, hey, you were here last week. I recognize you. Have a good day. It just starts small. And maybe our coworkers. I like to say at our church, we are all missionaries. We each have our own local mission field that God has given us. And that is the people in our home, our physical neighbors. That's the people we see every day at work for kids or college students at school. The people we see every day, like I said, on the gas station on your way to work, at the grocery store you go to, the bank you bank at, these are all people on our local mission field who we can, over time, little by little, plant seeds. And it can start super small with anything. And if anybody knows anything about overthinking, it's me. But you don't have to overthink these things. It can start with a smile, can go a long way. I don't know about you, and I think we've all been in a place before where somebody just smiled at us, waved at us, said something encouraging, and it changed our day. It changed us a little bit. So if you will think about these people on your local mission field who you see every day, and just think about it and be intentional about it each day or each week that you see them, plant a little seed whether that's starting with a smile, a how are you, and really caring and listening to what they're saying. And they're saying, I'm okay. And a lot of times what I'll do is they just say, I'm okay. I'll say, well, why are you just okay? Is everything okay? And they'll say, well, my cousin is going through something or something like that. And you say, wow, I'll be praying for your cousin. What's their name? And you want to get to know these people. And that's how it can start and build into a snowball, basically building a relationship with these people. And we genuinely care about these people because God has cared about us. And so we care about them. We want them to have what we have. And the thing with preaching as you go is we have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. God filled us with his Holy Spirit. And when we're out there preaching as we go, we're looking, like Victor said, at these people with eyes of compassion, like, I was once lost like that person. And we look at them and we see that we have something that they need that they don't know that they need. And so we've got to start somewhere, start cracking that door open so that God can use us as the vessels, or later on another one will come in water or plant and sow, and God will get that vessel to get to know him and get to receive this Holy Ghost that they need.
If I could just add to that, you know, I only say this, the thing my wife does so well and has showed me many of my flaws, and I only say this because it's something we can all learn, is that she shows genuine interest in people. She genuinely, you know, when I walk in and I say, hey, how you doing? I'm not really asking how you're doing usually. I'm just saying, hey, what's up? But she asks, how are you doing? She's genuinely wanting to know, how are you doing? She's genuinely interested. And like I said, I say that because we can all do that. We all get busy and we just get going. But when we have that mindset of actually, what is this person going through? How can I help? And she does that very well. And when we do that, there's always doors that will open that give us opportunity to tell them why we have what we have and where we are.
I actually have it written down here. And we'll talk more a little bit more about just being friendly and stuff like that in a moment. But I have it written down, if you can be friendly, you can win a soul. If you can be friendly, you can win a soul. I think that is great. I do want to touch up on something before we go into that. And that's what you were saying. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. We are spiritual. We are spirit-led. We talked about last Wednesday night about how Acts chapter 1, it says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. The first thing that is expected of us after receiving the Holy Ghost is being the witness. But at the same time, it is a supernatural, if you will, result of getting the Holy Ghost, because witnessing is spirit-led, and I think it should be spirit-led. So that just because you're being friendly and stuff like that doesn't mean that that you're not being spirit-led, and just because you're not feeling a tingle at the moment doesn't mean it's not spirit-led. Any time that we are allowing God to use us, I believe God's going to use us in the spirit. Brother Victor, I know it was brought up a couple times, and I'd love to get everyone, if you have a story or anything like that in this regard, to share it. But I know it's been brought up, you ministering to Bob over there, and just how God could you share with us just kind of the story of how that happened and how God led you to that.
Again, yes, how God really works through the Holy Ghost, and that's exactly what it was, through fasting and praying. And there were just a couple incidents that happened. I gradually worked into, I knew Bob because that's where I worked, and he lived there as well. And there was one incident, my grandchildren were going to go outside and play, and they said, this guy's out there, and he doesn't have a shirt on. And so I went outside, and I asked Bob gingerly, you know, he's an employee of the property, so I had to, you know, be very cordial with him. And I asked him, could you please put a shirt on? And he was more than happy to oblige me, and I explained why. And he surprised me then, and then Shortly after that, God started nudging on me and said, you know, ask him to go to church. And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, you know. And I'm like, I'm fighting against the Holy Spirit. And God's a bigger being than I am. So I only resisted a few times. So I eventually went to him. And the timing was perfect. He was taking out his trash, and I was taking out my trash. And that's when God gave me the go, you know. He's like, yo, ask him. I'm like, okay, fine. And so I resisted a little again, but eventually I gave in. And that's exactly how God works in our lives, by us committing to the Lord's will. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, sure. And Bob's been coming ever since. So God is awesome. But we are that vessel that needs to go out and answer those calls. I mean, Bob, I didn't know, was looking for a church. And I, you know, only God knows these wonderful calls that these people have. And that's exactly what's going on in my life right now. The people that I am going to do Bible studies with, I just found out last night. We asked him to go bowling. He went bowling. He loved our company, our companionship. And I know he felt the Holy Ghost. I asked him as I was dropping him off about Bible study. He said, sure. And yesterday, he said, I've been looking for some place to go. And so, again, that's God answering a call. And so we definitely have to go, and we definitely have to continue to do God's work and be available, you know, and answer that call and let God do his best work through us. And, you know, through fasting and praying, he can do a lot more through us. And so I know God is not done, and he's still working around my work, my neighborhood, which happens to be my work. So I don't have to go far from work and to testify and to do God's work. And God set that up for me. And so I praise God for that. And so he's not done. So I thank God for that. And I thank God for Bob. He's definitely submitted, and he received the Holy Ghost about a year ago, I think it was. And so he baptized in Jesus' name, and he's been obedient to God's word. So I thank God for Bob being obedient and to accept some ridicule sometimes from me. He's got thick skin. I love the man. I mean, he's a great guy. So he teaches me some lessons. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a... And let me just say this. We rejoice Bob coming and that, but sometimes being led by God doesn't mean it's going to end that good either. I mean, there's times when we could be led by God to talk to him, because this is the very last time they're ever going to have to hear the gospel. So, yeah, I want to say that so the pressure's off. You don't have to have a story where, you know, 15 people got, you know, the Holy Ghost or anything like that. But sure, go ahead if you have a story.
Yeah, I definitely have one that was coming to my mind thinking about tonight. I work on Fridays. I almost every Friday I'm driving from Fort Pierce down to Broward. And there was one Friday, I meet some of the people that work for the company. Said they're based in Tampa, so I'm in Fort Pierce, and it's, you know, we're always all over. But some of them had come from Tampa to Broward, but they had things that needed to be taken to Cocoa. And I was headed down to Broward, and like, I don't think you're going to want to do this. And I'm like, you pay me to drive, so I'm fine to drive all day. So I drove 2 hours south to Cocoa, picked up some things, and then drove 2 hours south to Broward, and then drove 3 hours up back to Cocoa. And so, you know, it's a 4-hour round trip and a little bit of work in between. And so on my way back, I told my wife we didn't have anything else going on that night. I said, you know, if you'd like, I can pick you up. I just got to drop this stuff off in Cocoa. We can walk around Cocoa for a little while. And she was up for that. So I stopped over back in Fort Pierce, picked her up, and headed to Cocoa, and went and did what I needed to do, and we went downtown. And I know, too, you know, speaking, you know, what I said earlier, you know, we're out of town, not thinking about bringing people to church or anything like that. And we were just walking downtown, and there was a man coming across the street as we were walking on the sidewalk, And he started trying to get our attention. And I could tell right away he was wanting money. I never said anything, but in my mind, I was already like, no, thank you. I don't have anything. But as he started coming and he started talking, it's the way the Holy Ghost works sometimes. It's just that small voice that just like, wait. And, you know, I could feel as I'm trying to walk away, I could feel a little resistance to just stop and listen. So I waited, and I just never have cash on me. Happened to have some cash that day. So I'm like, well, let me hear what he has to say. And he was working. He was trying to get a little money to get a bus to back to his house from his job. He was being honest. He wasn't just trying to go use it to do nefarious things. He was dressed pretty nice. He was down on his luck, basically. He had just lost his house or something. So he was just trying to get a few bucks to get to the bus. So we listened to him, and as I'm like, yeah, let me get some cash, my wife once again steps in and says, can we pray for you? And he said, oh, sure, sure. And so I gave him some money, and then, you know, I think I put my hand on his shoulder or whatever. We just kind of prayed together. Once I got done praying, he said, I can tell you're a preacher, man. And, you know, preachers don't pray any differently. What he heard was a Holy Ghost-filled man that's, you know, a praying man. And so he heard that, and he could feel it. And so he said that, and I just started talking about our church a little bit. And so he started talking about some of the churches. He's been looking for a church and going to different churches. And he told us one church that he was going to. And you know, I usually kind of stay up on other churches and what they're teaching and preaching. So I actually knew the church he was talking about and was able to speak to some things. So as we're talking, I don't remember if my wife said something to me or how it worked out, but I got on my phone and started looking for a UPC church in Cocoa. So I was going to tell him, and I said, my wife's going to take out a paper and pen and write down this address for you. And I said the name of the church, and I don't remember what the name was now, but when I said it, he said, oh, I know that church. There's two people that have been trying to get me to go there, and I haven't gone yet. And my wife said, well, that's your sign. Now you know you need to go. And I said, you want to pay me back for the money? Go with them to that church. And, you know, I'm never going to see that man again, most likely. And you know, it's not going to change our church any necessarily. But God stopped us for a reason. God brought him right there in that downtown, brought him to us right at that time for a reason. And truly, as has been said, you know, when you just listen to that still small voice, there, whether you ever see the reward of it, you ever reap the harvest in your own field, God will use it, and he will do something. He will at least use you to do what you're called to do. That was a truly wonderful experience. I still think about often with that.
That's incredible, and we'll give that one credited to Sister Valerie as well. So, I recall a couple different experiences, but one time I was praying late into the night. It was maybe 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I just felt the Lord tell me, "Go to the park and preach to somebody." It's 2 a.m. Like, there's nobody at the park. But I couldn't get away from it. I mean, God just kept putting in my heart, go to the park. Go pray first. Go talk to somebody. I was like, God, there's nobody at the park. I mean, you know, it was just right down the road from our parents' house where I was living at the time. And I just, you know, finally, after a few minutes, I just gave up. I was like, God, you're going to feel so foolish when I get over there and there's nobody there, all right? I'm just saying, like, you know, you're going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed. And I got up and I left that prayer room and I walked to the park, and I could see in the park there was a couple there. And I just said, oh, God, now I got to actually go talk to them. Because, again, 2 a.m. is not a great time to go witnessing, let me just tell you. I probably circled that park for 30 minutes, just waiting for them to leave. They wouldn't leave. And finally I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. So I start walking in, and immediately the guy said, hey, man, show me your hands. I said, oh, it's all right. It's all right. I ain't got nothing. And I went and I started talking to him and started talking to him about God and church and what Jesus had done. And, you know, they actually listened. And I said, well, you know, I'd love to have more conversations with you. He said, well, that's going to be real hard. I said, yeah, why is that? He says, tomorrow we're leaving. We're moving out of the state. And we're going to another state. And I just realized that was the very last time, the very last opportunity I would have had in order to preach to them. And I don't know if my words maybe made a difference. I don't know. But certainly we got to be Spirit-led. Hallelujah. Can we pray for just a moment right now and just ask God, Lord Jesus, help us, Jesus, to be sensitive to your Spirit. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your voice, Lord God. Help us to know you, Lord Jesus, to know, Lord God, how to do your will, Lord Jesus. We know that you've got a great plan. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you, Lord God. Yes, Lord, lead us and guide us, Lord, by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I love you, Lord, and I praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'd like to, if we can, really get a little more technical, possibly, if we can, and kind of switch to this how. Right, we've been talking about the what and the why, but how? How do we turn an acquaintance into a friend? How do we turn a friend into a convert? So, Sister Valerie, since you are the resident friend here, apparently, and I know it can be hard to put into words, but what is a friend, and how can we be friendly to people in a way that can eventually lead them to Christ?
One way to think about it is, like you said, preaching as we go. Everybody, Jesus loves everybody, and Jesus wants everybody. And if we've got the Holy Ghost, we've got that thing that person needs, we are God's vessels, like Victor said, we are his tool to reach these people and show them that we've got something that they need, and they might not know it yet, or maybe they know it, and you're just going to be a stepping stone to help them get it. But one thing I always try to do is just smile as much as I can at people in the store, anywhere you are, just show yourself friendly, like you said. Just start small. Start with a smile, a wave, and a compliment, too, is another thing. You can connect with somebody. I'll share about the time you mentioned, which is what I do often, is there's different people that we can reach. Like I said, you have people on your mission field, the people you see regularly, and you will build relationship with them, again, starting small, just befriending them, showing yourself friendly. Asking them how they're doing, getting to know them, getting to know who they are, where they're from, what they like, you know, learn about them. And I am particularly, like you said, interested in people. Where are you from? And you know, what are you like? What do you like? Just get to know people, and you will start to build a relationship with them and befriend them. And you can go to lunch and build on that and start there, and then you can get them. Like you all had bowling. You said you brought your friend, and we have bowling coming up with our youth. And you made me think of a friend of mine who has young people young children who could come to this thing. So find common ground with somebody, whether it's a stranger or it's an acquaintance at work or somewhere, a neighbor. Find common ground. What do you have in common that you can talk to them about, that you can relate to them about, or what can you share with them? And start there and build upon that over time. And it also, I think, depends on who you're reaching for. So is it somebody out of town that you may never see again? think about that. Maybe, like Chris said, we, when you have a moment, look up. The great thing about our church is you could go right on the upci.org, and they have right on the homepage, find a church. And you can find, if you're helping a stranger, you made a connection with a stranger at the store or somewhere, you want to say, hey, there, God has done great. Something like, you know, God has done great things for me. I've been a Christian all my life, but I stepped foot into this Pentecostal church that somebody invited me to, and they showed me all these things in the Bible that I didn't know were there. And I got filled with the Spirit of God, which I didn't know was possible until somebody showed me. I thought all I had to do was just believe. And I am so thankful. You know, this is truly a part of my testimony, and I will briefly share this with people as I feel led, that I believed in God, and I am so thankful God showed me there's more to him than just believing. You know, God showed me that if you believe in him, you will show that. Your life will show that. You will get to know him. You will fall in love with him because you just can't help it. And you will want to please him. And that's what these people that are in our life, or these strangers that we cross paths with, that's what we kind of want to show him. Hey, there is this great treasure. You've got to find out about it. Here's where you can find out about it, at this church, at my church. We can do a Bible study, but it just starts small with knowing that God wants to use you in this way. He does. He wants to use every one of us in this way. And Jesus loves everyone. So we just start small and show yourself friendly and build a relationship. And if it is a stranger in passing, you can genuinely care about them. And as it was set up here, be spirit led. Maybe there's something God's particularly putting on your mind to say to them. Maybe there have been times I've been here in this area or closer to this area. And as was mentioned, I keep church cards on me, and I keep some for our church and some for this church, because I know I'm back and forth in the area, and I have given the cashier at Goodwill or the waitress in this area a church card as God has led me, and say, hey, there's a great church here. And if you're hungry for God, you know God, and God is calling you higher, I know that you've got to go here and find out. And so those are just some of the things.
Yeah.
Food. You can win a lot of souls with food. You take people out, you know, you share, and you know, basically show them that your pocket isn't the only thing you're holding on to, that there's something there, and you kind of break the ice, you know, and allow God to work in their lives. But, you know, it's work through Bible study. It's work through, you know, just showing, you know, that you care, that you love, and that, you know, I find it very easy to communicate with people when their stomachs are full. And then you can, you know, break down the barriers, the walls, and so, but God is good.
That's really great. I know, because like Brother Victor's mentioned, we have a little bit of a different upbringing, you know, we've been in this all of our lives. I was homeschooled, right? Then I got married and went straight to living with my wife, and then a year later became pastor of a church. I've had very few conversations with people who are lost, right? I mean, like, my life has been so kind of closed in. So for many, many years, I found this to be so hard. When I did want to talk to somebody, I felt like I wasn't genuine, because it was, my mindset was always, I got to get them to church. I got to get them to church. I got to get them to Jesus, right? When I love what's already been said here, is you have to genuinely care about people, genuinely love people. And if we genuinely love them, of course we want to give them the best thing that the world has to offer. I mean, you know, if you genuinely love somebody, you're not going to hold back the cure for cancer if they've got cancer. You know, you're going to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. It's been said a couple times here just in the last few moments about genuinely caring for people. And this thought comes to mind. I wrote it down as I was preparing for this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I know it's an old saying, but, I mean, it still rings true today. They really don't know. And I think that there is, I think that friend role matters in the beginning with the transition from acquaintance to friend to convert. But I think it extends past that. I think it's so true that people aren't going to go to a church they don't have friends in. I mean, you know, so you become like Brother Victor and Brother Bob. You become that friend, that mentor, that, you know, follow me as I follow after Christ. So, Chris, if you could, maybe elaborate if, I know I already elaborated quite a bit, but what role do you think being a friend has on just the continual growth of a new convert, and discipleship, and things like that?
It's absolutely essential, that as they grow, we are there for though, because, you know, growth is never easy for anyone. Just coming to church is not easy for people, and hearing that there's things they need to change, and that's not easy for people. And I had on my heart to bring up, and you brought up Luke chapter 10 a few months ago. God was dealing with me on Luke 10, and it's always been one of those, after that verse, you know, we've quoted that verse a lot, but after that, Jesus begins to give the 70 instructions on what to do when they go out to these cities. And it was just always kind of like, you know, Jesus isn't teaching, and he's just telling them what to do. But just a few months ago, God really started opening my eyes to the things that he was saying, and we had an opportunity to open up to teach a Bible study to troubled teenagers. It's a facility with drug-addicted teenagers, alcoholic teenagers, with, you know, behavioral issues. Some of them have had lives of abuse and all this terrible stuff, and I was going to tell our youth about it, and God started to open my eyes to this chapter where Jesus gives them instructions on what to do when they go out. And this wasn't just the apostles. This was 70 men and women possibly, but these were 70 different people that Jesus was giving these instructions to. And he says, I want you to go to a house. When you go into the house, tell them, peace be unto this house. And God really started just touching my heart and realizing that, you know, it's so easy as apostolics, I think, or Pentecostals, that we, Acts 2:38 message, you know, we know it's essential, we know it's needed, but I think sometimes we get so focused on trying to get people into the baptismal tank that we don't lay out the path for them to get there. And what I saw in that when Jesus told them that is to go to them and tell them something good is coming. Tell them that better things are here. Tell them that better things, God has been, and it's become part of my language now. Hey, God's got better things for you. God's gonna help you, and God's got something else for you. And, it, you know, it sounds just like a greeting, but he says, if they respond interestingly, if they're interested in what you're saying, if they respond with peace, then the blessings shall stand. And I love that because for many years, again, maybe it's just apostolics or my circle, that when lost people come and they say, I've got this sickness and I hear you're a praying person, can you pray? Or we find out somebody's sick. And there's always like been this mentality that, God, I hope you heal them, but more than anything, I want you to save their soul, more than anything. And of course, more than anything, we want their soul to be saved. But I think God really helped me to see that that's not our job to worry about. Our job is to go to them and tell them, God can do something for you. God's got something for you. And so he says, three instructions that have stuck with me. He says to go to them, tell them peace be on this house. Stay there, eat with them, spend time with them, get to know them. Then he says, heal their sicknesses, which implies to us that he's saying, stick around. Let them tell you all the struggles that's going on. Let them tell you all the difficulties that are in their life. Don't just say, oh, you know, that's too much or I'm not interested. Listen to what they're saying. Hear them. Recognize the things that are broken in their life. And he says, then heal their sick. He doesn't say pray over them even. He says, heal the sick. And what God showed me is that when we lay ourselves on the line for people, that he will do the rest. when we are lay ourselves out, and even if it's difficult and it's hard and it's confusing sometimes, but we lay ourselves out on the line, Jesus does the rest. And I have to say, I was teaching a lesson on the gifts of the Spirit a few weeks ago, and the gifts of the Spirit and witnessing, I think, is the same thing. So many times we look for a sign. You know, we look, does God want me to say something? Does God want me to do this? Does God want me? And what God really showed me is that we need to stop looking for signs and start looking for opportunities. When we find an opportunity to do it, He will perform the sign. He says after the Great Commission that they went out doing what he told them to do, and he proved his word with signs following. I bring up the example of Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and they met that lame man. They didn't have time to go say, God, what should we say? What should we do? There was an opportunity with someone that was broken, and Peter took that opportunity to say, God can do something here. And so God's going to do something for your life. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to the struggle. Show that compassion and that love enough to lay yourself out on the line for them. And then he says, tell them the kingdom of God is near. Then bring up, you know, once they've seen all that God can do and they've heard the loving message. And so that was on my heart. And we began to do this Bible study with these teenagers. And the first night that we did, I could see and I could hear, some of them would talk a little bit in their testimony. You could hear the religious language of people in their life that have just told them they're going to hell, that have just told them, if you keep doing this, you're going to hell. And that's all they remember, at least. Whether it's all they've ever heard or not, I don't know, but that's all that they remember. And that first lesson we went and taught was about the agape love of Jesus, that he loves you no matter what, and he cares about you no matter what, and he's got better things for you. And it's been such a beautiful thing. They are asking us questions about tattoos, and we had this one young man who is clearly struggling with sexual issues and transsexual things, and asking us, what does God say about this? What does God say about homosexuality? Because he trusts us. He trusts that we are not there to straighten them all out. We're not there to get them back on track. We are there to show them the love of Jesus, to show them what Jesus has, to show them that better thing. And we've had opportunities to pray for some of them, the young ladies we prayed for, and they're just crying, and God's moving. And so it truly is that mindset of just, even the goal, ultimate goal is to bring them to Acts 2:38. The ultimate goal is to see them saved. But we need to build that contact and that relationship and that connection, building that pathway to the Holy Ghost filling, and then continuing after that to be that mentor and that loving contact for them. And that's really, God has helped me to see that in a very, just the last few months. And I've seen the reward of it. And so, like I said, I've changed a lot of my language. It is, God's got something better for you. I know, I can't believe you, but let me tell you, God's got something better for you. And people care about that. It gets their attention, and they want to hear about it. So.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. Look for opportunities. Absolutely. And I know we're getting late here, but let me ask one more question. Well, first of all, let me just say this, and I'm thinking about, praying about, if we enjoy this, maybe we'll do another panel in a couple weeks on Bible studies and teaching Bible studies and things like that. But I did want to ask this. What if it doesn't work? What do you do then? What if they don't want it? What should our mindset be? And what should we do at that point? Brother Victor, you want to kick us off?
I have a couple people, family members, friends, neighbors, all that good stuff, where they reject. And it's not personal, you know. It's internal. It's spiritual. And so you can't take it to heart. And when you're persistent and you show love and you continue to bring food to them, you continue to show love and compassion, and you let Jesus work through you, and you don't say anything about God and about heaven or hell, or you need to repent or anything like that, What's so amazing about it, they come to you and ask you questions, and that's when God opens the door. And so you have to be prepared as an individual and as a loving, you know, person or parent or, you know, grandfather. I mean, my granddaughter came up to me and asked me about repentance. I'm having a hard time, and I'm like, man, Lord, what's a good answer, you know? And so God worked in our lives, worked out the details. Now we're doing Bible study. So praise God for that. And so it's being, you know, not resilient, but, you know, just letting yourself know to stay committed to God's work. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep loving them. And, you know, I'm not saying push, 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 but there's a little nudge every now and then. You got to plant a seed. Let them know that you haven't forgot about them. And they go. There was a friend that disappeared. I didn't see him for a good 3-4 months. And all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere, wants to know some things. How's church? And so, yes, you know, I mean, getting to know them and getting to able to respond to them in a very cordial and loving way, they realize that you haven't given up on them. I still got you in prayer, you know. And so those little nudges, you know, let them know that no matter how far they want to go or how far they want to leave you, you're still going to be praying for them, you know. So, and the best thing to do, and I told Bob too, is get their permission. Say, hey, look, you mind if I put you in a prayer list, you know? Let me pray for you. Is that okay, you know? And so once they release that, you know that God's never going to quit. So that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I've had, you know, this experience. I work for a man in the company. He's the boss, and I'm the employee, and that's all there is in there. And, you know, I worked for years with him. He knows I go to church. He knows I'm a preacher and all of that. But, you know, he's very against any of it. And he's never wanted to know or show any interest. And there was one time that he was struggling with a lot. And he had a lot on his mind. And he was really stressed out. And so, you know, I took that opportunity and said, you know what I do when I'm stressed out and I'm struggling and all this stuff, you know, Jesus helps me to get through that. And, you know, I'd love for you to come to church. I'm pretty sure I invited him to this church. He lives close to here. And he just kind of shrugged it off and you know, wasn't interested at all. So later on, he actually felt to bring it up to me, and he just said, I appreciate you saying that, but I'm just not interested. I'm not open to that. And so I was like, okay, you know, no problem. That's what I, you know, God has helped me through those times and helped me with a lot. And so he just wasn't interested at all, but he's been having a lot of health issues. And whenever he tells me something that's going on, I say, well, I'm going to be praying for you. We're going to be praying for you. And more I've seen him just, well, I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I told him, I heard my daughter praying for him one night. I was telling him, you know, my daughter was praying for you last night. And so he's going in for surgery today, actually. And I told him yesterday, we were praying for you. We're always praying for you. And then this time he said, I really appreciate that. And so, like he said, you know, don't take it personal. Don't take it to heart. Don't shrug them off. You know, Jesus says to leave them and just wipe the dust off. But, you know, that doesn't mean forget about them. It's very likely they were still saved. They were preparing for Jesus to come. Jesus could have come and did the rest of the work. But we still show love. We still just continue to be that light, continue. They may never accept it or respond to it, but we know that Jesus never gave up on us. So we just continue to not take it personally, not take it to heart, not be rude in return or anything like that, but just, okay. No problem. I'm going to be praying for you, but no problem. And in this case, you know, it's very possible as they see your life and as they hear your words lining up with your life that they begin to let some cracks open up there and give you an opportunity.
Svala, anything you want to add to that?
I think they covered it well, but one thing that always comes to my mind is in any aspect of witnessing for people or reaching for people is as you're looking at them with these eyes of compassion, but also think that if that person was you, what would you want them to do to get your attention and to help them to see? Like I said, Yes, we want them to know Jesus. We want them to know how great he is and how we don't have to turn to the bottle. We don't have to turn to the pill or to this or to that. We simply just turn to Jesus and we have it right there in our darkest moment, in our hardest moment, in our most hopeless moment in the dead of night. We simply turn to Jesus. And I think about these people. If you were me and I was you, I'd want you to keep praying for me. Even if I reject you a million times, keep praying for me. Keep reaching for me. Whatever you got to do. Bring me food. You know, keep going after me for 20 years if that's what it takes. And, of course, be led by God because, as you said, you know, in some cases it's wipe the dust off your feet. I mean, I have had a friend. She was my coworker. She started as my coworker. We were strangers. And we became acquaintances, as I said, because we worked in the same building. We saw each other. We got to know each other. We complimented each other. I like your dress. I like your dress. And we grew a friendly relationship over time. And it wasn't long after that we were going to lunch, hanging out, and she was coming to church with me as she wanted to. And for a while, she came to church, and things were changing in her life. But eventually, I will say, ultimately, she chose this sin over God. And so she stopped coming to church, and I understand. It's like you said, you kind of feel that rejection, and I thought about it, well, she doesn't want to be my friend anymore, and she's also rejecting you, Jesus. That must really hurt you. But at the end of the day, we just, like has been said, we keep praying for her, and that doesn't mean that at a later point in her life, she's not going to come back around, and that this time away might be adding to her testimony, and now later on when she comes back, I'm believing in faith that there's going to be more people she can relate to, and she's going to be able to reach when she makes it back. So I just want to say that lost loved one, your lost neighbor, or that boss or that coworker that's real mean or rude to you, just know that that is coming from somewhere within, and Jesus loves them, and just whatever you do, just keep praying for them. And I just, like I said, I can't help but think, if that person was me, I would want you to plaster it on a billboard. You need the Holy Ghost, or, you know, you need Jesus. He can truly help you. So just keep praying for that person and being a loving light for them. And you know what's funny? I think we all have probably known somebody who we've been reaching for, been a light to, or been consistent. They've seen our consistency, and they know who to turn to in those hard times. They know that they see that you're genuine. They see that you really do have a hold of something real, and they know who to reach out to in their dark moments. So be ready when they do reach back out to you.
Absolutely. Leave the door open. I think one preacher preached a couple years ago at a general conference, leave the light on. You know, and he's talking about in some hotel chain that, you know, that was their motto. We'll leave a light on for you. And that was his message. We'll leave the light on, you know. So they rejected me. I'm not going to get angry and be nasty to them and all that stuff. I think about my coworker who, I straightforward asked her if she'd, I said, I know you're alone this weekend. You know, I'd love for you to come to church. Nope. I mean, just straightforward. No. A hard pass, but I've just continued to love her and be kind to her and all those things. And then she had an emergency a couple weeks ago, and all I know is all of a sudden my personal phone, I have a work phone and a personal phone starts ringing, and it's her. I was like, why is she calling me on my personal phone? And I answer, said, Aaron, I had to get a hold of you. She said, I knew you. I know you don't answer your work phone, so I was trying to get you on your work phone. I know you don't answer it. I just had to talk to you, and I remember that flyer that you gave me for the church, so I called the church number hoping that you would answer, and she's like, I just need prayer right now, and so I was able to pray for her and talk to her, and, you know, it was just like, again, you leave the light on. And she still, even now, has not come, you know. Her sister came to our movie night, but she has not come yet. But, you know, again, yeah, leave the light on. I do think it's important, too, though, to also recognize if they do not want it, that is not my responsibility to make them want it. the success of what I'm doing is not on me. I can be the best that I can be, but the labor is my responsibility, and the success or the growth is all on Him. So at the end of the day, I mean, the Lord can give them dreams and give them all these things to support if the Lord feels that that's necessary. That's up to Him. I'm just playing my role in this and doing what I can. But then don't get hung up either. Leave the door open, but don't get hung up. Move to the next soul. And don't let that keep you from moving to the next soul or being too disappointed or you know, have too much negativity, anything like that. So, well, praise the Lord. I think this has been great. How about we give our panel here a hand? And praise the Lord. Looks like we lost half of the congregation, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. How about we, right now, let's just take a minute and we can maybe stand and let's take a moment right now. Let's pray over this, and we won't do a full altar call and all that because I know it's late, but man, so many good things that were said today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we want souls. Lord Jesus, we want to see revival, Lord. Oh, I pray, God, that You would work in us, Lord Jesus. Pour out Your anointing upon each and every one of us, God. Make us fishers of men, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank You for the tools that You've given us tonight, Lord. I thank You for the inspiration, the encouragement, the burden that, Lord God, You've laid upon us. Lord, I pray, God, help us to go. Help us to genuinely love and care for people. Oh, Lord, as we drive home tonight, help us to look over our city and to see with Your eyes, Lord God, the lost, the hurt, the burdened. Lord, move us with the same compassion that You were moved with, God, to preach to them, to minister to them, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, that God, You are going to use us, Lord. Hallelujah, right now. Won't you go ahead and invite them and tell them, Lord, use me, Jesus. Use me to talk to my friends. Use me to go and preach and to preach as I go. Lord Jesus, help me to be intentional. Lord, give me a mind, Lord Jesus, that's focused on preaching to the lost. Give me an example, Lord, through my actions and my words. Help me to care for them. Love them, Lord. Lead me by the Holy Ghost to speak to them. Give me the words to speak, Lord Jesus, that I may minister to them on an individual level, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Everybody shout revival. I want to remind you, we are a revival church, and we're a church in revival. I heard Pastor Wayne Huntley, he said at Pastor Dagan's church just a few days ago, he said that when, you know, you've got a growing church, you're not going to always have a large church, and you're not going to have a rich church. You're too busy paying everybody's bills and doing this and doing that, and you don't have any money in the bank. Hallelujah. And that's all right, because we're a growing church, so it might be small here tonight. Might not be a lot of people, but that's changing. Hallelujah. And we know that this place is going to be packed out because of what God's doing. God bless you. We are dismissed in Jesus' name.